time.
And I just want to say, when my time comes, I want to be buried face down so that anyone who doesn't like me can kiss my ass.
Talking about making up for lost time here. We're about to make up for yesterday's lack of the recruiting update. Brought to you, as always, by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Cole, are you a little antsy right now?
I'm not going to lie. I kind of am, because I'm sure you, DB, and Rick have seen all the updates I've been sending.
A lot.
There's about 40 to 45. So I need to get it
we
off my chest.
We need to add Julia in the overtime group DM just so she can see how many like recruiting updates.
Julia, I'll tell you right now, it gets wild.
You will have to turn off your notifications.
It gets wild. When I get on a roll, I can't stop. I really can't.
It goes down in the DM.
It does.
It goes down in the DM.
Yeah.
Without further ado, no more beating around the bush. It's time for Cole McCormick's patented recruiting update brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Cole, tell the people what they have been missing.
Okay, thank you, Tanner.
You're welcome.
Going to be a little difficult tonight because I cannot use my laptop to
thanks,
help
Comcast.
Me.
Thanks, Comcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This
so,
is not brought to you by Comcast.
No.
Comcast can go to hell.
I agree.
So there we go.
But it might be a little slower than usual, but I will do my best. Okay, first up, Quincy Briggs has received an offer from Tennessee. He is an athlete out of Memphis at Freedom Prep Academy in the 2022 class, 5'9", 150 pounds. So just a little guy at the moment. Only has two offers, Tennessee and LSU. Let's see. Not a whole lot else on him. No rankings or crystal ball predictions yet since he is far out. So keep that on your radar. Up next, Keyshawn Washington has also been given an offer to Tennessee. He is a four-star safety out of Homestead, Florida, down at South Dade High School in the 2020 class. 6'1 and a half, 177 pounds. 17th overall safety, according to 247 Sports composite rankings. Crystal ball predictions right now, 100% to Miami. Other than Tennessee and Miami, he has other offers from Auburn, Florida A&M, Florida State, and Georgia. Up next, a current Alabama commit has received a Tennessee offer. Jarquez Robinson from Jacksonville, Florida at Sandalwood High School. He's a three-star corner in the 2020 class, 6'1 and a half, 174. Let's see, 23rd overall corner, according to 247 Sports in the 2020 class, 41st best player in the state of Florida. Along with Alabama and Tennessee, other offers include Oklahoma, LSU, NC State, and Arkansas, to just name a few. Next, Mirabal, I think that's how you say his name. Another Florida native, an offensive guard from South Dade High School. 6'5", 320 pounds, so an absolute unit on the offensive line. He is also in the 2020 class, three-star guy, 13th overall offensive guard in the 2020 class. Let's see. Other offers include FIU, FAU, Florida State, Georgia, and Georgia Tech to go along with Tennessee. Up next, Jabari Ishmael has also received an offer to play at Tennessee. He's out of Miami, Florida as well. So a lot of South Florida guys getting Tennessee offers. He's at Columbus High School. He is a defensive end prospect, 6'5", 210 pounds in the 2021 class. Since he has a few classes away, no 247 Sports rankings yet, no crystal ball predictions at the moment. But he only has four offers right now. Miami, of course, and then with Tennessee is also Ole Miss and Oregon. Next, Relik Brown has also received an offer from Tennessee. He's out of Stockton, California at Edison High School. He is in the 2022 class, running back, 5'9", 165 pounds. Other offers at the moment include Arizona State, Florida State, Oklahoma State, and USC to go along with his new Tennessee offer. Rolling right along, Jalen Harrell has also received an offer from Tennessee. four-star corner in the 2020 class, 6'2", 180 pounds, out of Miami again, Miami Central High School, 20th overall corner in the 2020 class. Crystal ball prediction sitting at 100% to the Hurricanes of Miami. Other offers include Cincinnati, Clemson, FIU, Florida State, and Georgia Tech. Next, John Griffith has received an offer from Tennessee. He's a pro-style quarterback in the 2022 class. 6'2", 206. Already got some good size for being a young buck. He's out of Baltimore, Maryland. Only four offers right now. Other than Tennessee, he has an offer from LSU, UMass, and Michigan. Up next, Jose Ultimo. I can't say half these names, I find. I don't know if these people are real or what, but I cannot say their names.
Well, you know they make fake recruits now.
We haven't talked about that, but yes, they do.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Damn, I don't know how we forgot to talk about that.
That does happen, though. But I don't know if this is one, but I wouldn't be surprised. Jose Ultimo, I believe is how you say his name. Another Miami Central prospect in the 2020 class. Wide receiver, 6'3", 170 pounds. Three-star guy, not highly rated at all. 247 Sports Composite has him as the 163rd best wide receiver in next year's class. Along with an offer from Tennessee, he holds other offers from Boston College, Florida Atlantic, Louisville, Oregon, and Pittsburgh. Next, let's see. Lawrence Seymour has received a Tennessee offer. He's a current Miami commit. He is an offensive guard in the 2021 class. He is also out of Miami Central High School down in Miami, Florida. 6'5", 299 pounds. Four-star guy, according to 247 Sports Rankings. The fourth overall offensive guard in the country and 10th best player in the state of Florida in the 2021 class. Other offers include Boston College, Florida Atlantic, Louisville, and North Carolina. Next, Chase Williams. I thought this one was very interesting. I couldn't find this kid anywhere, so I had to go to his Max Preps. Shout out to Max Preps for giving me the information. He is a East Tennessee native out of Maryville High School over at William Blount High School. He has received a Tennessee offer, but looking at his measurables, I kind of think he's lying. I'm kind of thinking this is another made-up kid. According to Max Preps, he's 5'7", 135 pounds.
Wait, say his first measurables again.
5'7", 135 pound junior in the 2020 class has a Tennessee offer, apparently, according to his Twitter timeline. I don't know if that's true.
But that's say 130 pounds?
135. Like a beanpole.
Oh my. Lord.
So, but hey, he said he's got one, so I'll believe him. Let's see. Tennessee has picked up another preferred walk-on. Isaiah Montgomery out of East Point, Georgia, at Tri-Cities High School. He announced a few days ago he'll be joining Coach Pruitt and the Vols as a preferred walk-on. 6'3", 208 pound. Let's see, what is he? I believe he's a receiver. Yeah, wide receiver out of Georgia. Also plays corner, so probably will play multiple positions on the scout team. Up next, Robert Simmons is set to announce his college decision soon. He tweeted out he will be announcing in the next few days. He's in the 2021 class, a corner out of Jacksonville, Florida at Robert E. Lee High School, 5'9", 160 pounds. He only has two offers, and one of them is Tennessee. The other one is Oregon. So Tennessee might be getting a member of the 2021 class here soon. Up next, let's see. Tony Grimes has Tennessee in his top, I believe, 15, if I can pull up his list once again. Let's see, this is bad radio. Here we go. Tony, yeah, top 15. He says, first, I would like to thank God, from whom which all blessings flow. Without him, I am nothing. I want to thank my parents for being my inner circle. I want to thank my coaches, trainers, and my ride or die friends. That's what I like. Nobody ever says ride or die friends anymore. But Tony Grimes, he gets it, man. He gets it. As I have witnessed, the recruiting process can be good or bad for athletes. Fortunately, I have been blessed so far to experience the good part. I know people may think it's a bit too early in the process to start narrowing down my top schools, but after talking to my parents, I honestly want to continue enjoying the process. So with that being said, I'm releasing my top 15 schools. For the next 2 years, we'll be focusing on evaluating these programs in detail. I want to thank every program for reaching out to me so early in the process and offering me a scholarship opportunity to play football at their program. Trust me, I take nothing for granted. It's just that these 15 schools have showed tremendous interest about my future at their program. I am not closing my recruitment. I am just prioritizing it. With that being said, my top 15 in alphabetical order. Top 15 include Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Maryland, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Penn State, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Texas A&M, TCU, and then the last three, North Carolina, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. I don't know if he knows N comes before T, but that was not alphabetical order. But we're well with it. But Tennessee has made the top 15 for him. He is a corner in the 2021 class, 6 foot, 180 pounds, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. According to 247 Sports Rankings, highly talented prospect, number one corner in the 2021 class, number one player in the state of Virginia, 12th overall player nationally in the 2021 class. Crystal ball predictions sit at 50% to Virginia Tech and 50% to Texas A&M. So be on the lookout for him in the next few years. Up next, let's see. Jontavious Robertson will be in Knoxville this Monday, taking a visit to Tennessee. He announced via his Twitter him and his mom will be up here on Monday. He's a wide receiver out of Gray, Georgia at Jones County High School. 5'11", 180-pound wideout in the 2020 class. Three-star guy, not highly recruited at all. Other offers include Baylor, Georgia State, Kent State, Kentucky, and Southeast Missouri State to go along with his Tennessee offer. Let's see. Jacoby Criswell will be visiting Tennessee in March. He announced via his Twitter. He is a dual-threat quarterback out of Arkansas, 6'1", 203 pounds in the 2020 class. Four-star guy, according to 247 Sports Rankings. Sixth dual-threat quarterback in the 2020 class. Number one player in the state of Arkansas with the Tennessee and Arkansas offer. Other offers include Mississippi State, North Carolina, Ole Miss, and Arkansas State. And then for the last one I will do tonight, I think I saved the best for last. Let me find the graphic one more time. Greg Brown has announced his top 10 schools. With Tennessee, of course, Auburn, Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Memphis, LSU, North Carolina, Kansas, and the Baylor Bears all make up his top 10. Greg Brown, he is a power forward. So on the basketball side, he's a power forward in the 2020 class. He's out of Austin, Texas, 6'9", 195 pounds. Number one power forward in next year's class, according to 247 Sports Rankings. Number one player in the state of Texas and fifth best player nationally in the 2020 class. Hopefully Rick Barnes can land another big fish in next year's class like he did in this one, but we will just have to wait and see. And with that, that will conclude a very long and strenuous recruiting update. I'm turning my mic off.
You're doing the Lord's work. Doing the Lord's work, Cole. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Without Wi-Fi and everything, man.
Just relying on my LTE over here.
Oh, using that data for the greater good of the show. Gotta love to see it. Cole McCormick, the company man. Big time company man, Cole McCormick. Oh, and let me be a company man right now. That recruiting update, as always, it's brought to you by Knoxville's Stone Interiors. That's your go-to countertop renovation source. They are a local business, woman-owned. They've been serving East Tennessee for over a decade now, and they got three generations of experience in the natural stone countertop industry on their staff. Whatever the surface you're looking for, they will have your solution. Whether it's granite, quartz, marble, or more, they got it all in hundreds of options to choose from, and they're all going to be priced at the best value in Knoxville. They're good for any project, big or small, inside or outside of your home, too, and most installations take less than a day. Go see the KSI showroom. They are located at 3900 Millbrook Pike, right in the heart of Knox County. And if you call them at 865-971-5800, you'll get a free in-home estimate for your project. Check them out online, knoxstoneinteriors.com. Knoxville Stone Interiors, 9,000 kitchen makeovers and counting. Going ahead and hit this first break of hour number two, trying to find some games to get on the TV right here. I guess we'll watch Michigan and Minnesota. Kind of don't want to. It's better than just staring at the TV screen, though. 865-546-8200. A lot more to get into as overtime rolls on hour number two here on this Thursday. We will be right back. I think our Wi-Fi has returned, ladies and gentlemen.
Of course, after I get done with my segment.
Ah, bad timing.
Comcast.
It's back. Oh, it's back. Thank God. Just in time for us to discuss this right here. And let me get the article up now that I'm able to actually use Google. Ah, here we go. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Okay, what was originally a story that really just concerned Georgia and Auburn... this is now going to concern Tennessee. And this is something that a lot of people kind of like right here. So how about this? The Tennessee-Georgia game traditionally played end of September, start of October,
mm-hmm.
as it has been for a while now. In 2020, it's going to have a new home in the month of November.
Okay.
So this is because Georgia is going to move their game with Auburn, which is traditionally the last SEC game that Georgia plays.
Mm-hmm.
Near the end of the season, they're going to switch that, move that up to where the Tennessee-Georgia game would be.
Okay.
So interesting right there. And this comes straight from the mouth of the president of the University of Georgia here. President Jerry Moorhead?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got an odd name.
President Moorhead of Georgia said this. As I understand it, the conference has flipped Auburn and Tennessee. They had their reasons for doing it. Reasons. Interesting. So, now Auburn, Georgia, the Deep South's oldest rivalry, that's what they call it, it's going to shift to early October / into September. It just depends on how the year falls, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee, Georgia is going to play in near the end of November now. So, somebody's going to have to move up on Tennessee's schedule. So how about this? And this goes back to something that came out earlier last month. It was Missouri's 2020 schedule already got leaked. And we talked about this just a little bit because it was odd. Because Missouri's game against Tennessee, this is when they make their next trip to Neyland. That's going to be October the 3rd. I remember us talking a little bit about it, but we didn't really look too much into it. Now this makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, it really does.
Makes a lot of sense. So Missouri is going to be, I would guess, the second conference game you play now, as opposed to the second to last. And now the Georgia game is going to be in November. How do we like this?
I for one, love it.
I'm a big fan.
I'm not mad about it.
I'm a huge fan. For the number one reason, you know what this takes away any possibility of? A back-to-back versus Florida versus Georgia.
That's true.
Takes away. Think about how tough that is, especially when you don't have a good football team.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's pretty rough. It was especially rough this past season.
Yeah.
You take an ass-kicking to Florida at home. You're all demoralized after that. Oh, what's the next game on the schedule? I just got to go to Georgia.
Oh, just top five Georgia.
And play a playoff-bound team, likely.
Yeah.
No more!
Yeah.
No more! I like it. I would have rather moved the Florida game to November.
Oh, I definitely would have, too.
That would be ideal. Ideal world.
Can't have her cake and eat it,
but
too.
But of course not.
Flip-flop Vanderbilt and Florida. Now, that would be something.
Really good.
Another positive for me with this change is it takes... it takes out going up to Missouri at the end of November, especially when you go to Missouri, and it's, you know, we think it's cold here. But from people that go up there, they say it is absolutely miserable going up there to play.
A lot of people who covered that it would have been the second game at Missouri, my bad. It was a 2015 one. It was the first time you finally beat Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible game as far as, like, a defensive struggle, but it was even worse from the weather. I remember people had to cover that. And, like, Missouri's press box is not really a box. It's kind of open air. So people had to just sit out there and freeze.
No thanks.
Yeah. No more going to Missouri. That's a good part right there. Man, I like it.
I do too.
I like this a lot. It's going to be, I assume, Auburn and Georgia. I don't know how they feel about moving this up. But, hey, if we're a benefactor of it, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it. Now, you need to start beating Missouri again.
Sure.
You need to stop letting them drop 50 on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's priority one.
That's priority number one, but it makes the start of your SEC slate more manageable.
Yeah, it does.
Especially in the future, because I think you'll be able to get on a level where you're at least competing with Missouri again. You're not staring down the barrel of starting out 0-2 in the conference anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a plus.
Yeah.
Big time plus right here.
I mean, you know, honestly, I would kind of wish they would just go ahead and move up the second West team myself and just get that out of the way. But, I mean, I'd rather play Missouri in the beginning of the season strictly because of the temperatures you'll be playing when you go to Columbia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And forget the back-to-back Florida-Georgia. I'm looking at another article about this. Shout out to Rocky Top Talk here. How about this? This has been a part of like an even worse stretch. In recent years, you've had to go through this. Florida, Georgia, your SEC West team that's not Alabama, which is usually a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alabama.
South Carolina.
Gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's bad, and that's right in the middle. And you play those tough games, and you lose most of them. Now, granted, you did beat Auburn last season, which was a plus, but you got tough back-to-back-to-back games. I mean, there's no real breathing room. You're going to get beat up. You're going to suffer injuries in those games.
Yep.
And the results are bad enough that could do a job at demoralizing your team, too.
Sure.
This takes the burden off a little bit. Now, you're still going to have a hard schedule every year as long as you play Alabama and Georgia, it's still going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And Florida's always going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
It makes this a little bit more manageable now.
It definitely does.
Like, this is a slate you're going to have to play in 2019. So you still got one more year of the back-to-back Florida-Georgia. At Florida, then you got to play Georgia at home, where they just happened to beat you by 41 last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, big difference. Mississippi State at home, they may take a step back. They did lose a lot of talent. But then again, I mean, who knows what Joe Moorhead's building down there. Oh, and then after Mississippi State, going to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, we should be used to it by now.
How much easier does this sound? Florida, Missouri, Mississippi State, Alabama.
It's a lot easier.
You go from looking at maybe 1-3 at best. Okay, we can go 500 in that stretch. Sure. Fine.
Sure.
And nothing in your season got totally torched before it really started.
Yeah. I mean, even if you want to look ahead to, 2020 when this takes effect, you look at that schedule, we go to Arkansas to play. So that's even easier. Florida, Missouri, you know, at Arkansas, Alabama at home, just gets easier.
About time.
I know.
You're also going to have in the future tough non-conference games. Isn't 2020 the year you go to Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Damn. Why is that starting again so soon?
I don't know. I don't know why they're doing that.
I had enough of playing them. Yeah. 14 and 15.
Yeah,
I still haven't recovered from 2015.
I had to sit right there and watch Baker Mayfield just floss all over us. And that's before flossing was a thing.
Yeah, I know.
He just did his little Fortnite dances up and down the field as he led the comeback. Isn't it weird I like Baker Mayfield now? I should hate that man.
I never really hated him, really. Not a lot. I didn't like him beating us, but that's really it.
I'm just glad the Oklahoma series doesn't start again this year because you'd have to play Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, we dodged a bullet with
Slow
that.
Slow down a little bit. You'll just have to play the 5-star they signed this year.
I'll tell you another positive I just thought about. I didn't think about it earlier. It seems like every year under Barry Odom so far, Missouri has started off very slow. I mean, very slow. I think last year, the year before, they started off, 1-4 went on a run.
The year they made the rally, they started. I think they started 1-6.
Yeah,
1-5, 1-6 is one.
Yeah, I think it was 1-5, and then won the last six or something.
Their only win was a shootout victory over Missouri State.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they start off slow. I mean, not a guaranteed SEC win by any means, but no. I'll take off a slow Missouri team than a top-notch Georgia
so
team.
So basically they've been doing the reverse Florida.
Exactly.
Whereas Florida would start fast usually and then always. Just kind of like drive a broken down car to across yeah. the finish line.
Yeah.
Man, I wish that Florida game would be November, man.
Oh, I do too. Having them come up here and play in the cold, because when they come to Neyland, it's still hot. I mean, it's not as hot as in Gainesville, but it's still pretty hot.
They're used to that, man.
I know.
They're used to it. And I was thinking about this last night when I first saw this news. I'm thinking to myself, man, if you had that Florida game, like, since, I don't know, mid-2000s, played in November, they probably still get a little winning streak on you just because they were so good and you were so bad. That streak doesn't get up to 11 games.
No, I don't think so.
Think about how bad their team finished in, like, 2013, 2014. You beat those teams in those years.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I mean, even, what was it, 20... What was this last year, 2018? Even the 2017 season, 4-8. Oh, I mean, they went 4-8, too. Wonder how that would end up.
Butch still coached that team, so it probably was still a loss.
That's true.
That might have been even a worse game if those two teams met in November.
Probably wouldn't have had Butch.
Yeah. Damn. I'm now thinking about how bad of a game that would have been. Because it was bad enough when they played
probably
that
probably wouldn't have had Butch or McElwain if that was the case.
That would have been something. Yeah, didn't
had Brady Hoke lead us out there against the mighty Gators down in Gainesville.
John, I'm Brady, your football coach. I am leading your team at the power tee to face Florida.
I love you.
Please respond. Who is this? We got birthdays coming up next. 865-546-8200. If you want to hop on here, last 30 minutes of the show, it's Cole versus Julia and birthdays. Julia's 0-2. Trying to get a win here.
Thanks for bringing it up.
It's okay. I have to try to motivate you. You gotta.
I'm ready to go.
You gotta get that goose egg off. Ooh, did you hear that, Cole? She is coming for you.
Tired of losing.
I did. My mouth is tired from my previous segment.
Okay.
I need to do some stretches during the break.
We'll rest that during the break and get ready for birthdays. Coming up next here on Overtime.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Comcast still sucks. Update, yeah. Wi-Fi is out again.
It was a good 15 minutes.
I thought I was going to be able to get hour one of our podcast up for our lovely listeners to enjoy.
No.
It will have to wait till I get home, apparently. Awesome. Well, have no fear, because
LTE.
There is such
here.
A thing called the Docs app.
Going to the Notes app?
No, the Docs.
Oh.
Google Docs. No, not on Notes.
I was about to say, making it official, huh?
No, can't be that official. But I got today's birthdays. Quality day of birthdays. Yesterday was pretty good. It's a shame we missed yesterday.
Mm.
We had like...
you were reading them off to me.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Dadgum, there's a lot of other notable people. I forgot. But yeah, yesterday was good. Today is fine, though. I have 6 birthdays in this day in history. So,
okay.
Best 4 out of 7, lady and gentleman. So, here we go. First up here, she's an American actress, and she's 40 today, by the way. She's 40 years old, American actress. I'm going to have to look her up on Wikipedia here on my phone, because I can't just go on my laptop and look up. So, give me 1 second, I'll tell you what she's been in. But I would consider her an A-list actress.
How old is she?
40. I would consider an A-list actress. She is currently in a she's been in commercials for this company for a few years now. Here we go. Got some movies. She rose to fame as a teen star for her role as Julie James in the horror film I Know What You Did Last Summer. She was also Amanda Beckett in the teen comedy film in 1998, Can't Hardly Wait. More recent movies. Pull it up here. More recent stuff. Trying to find out, I swear. She was in Tropic Thunder. Played herself in Tropic Thunder, actually. Garfield the movie. Ugh.
Is it Jennifer Love Hewitt?
It's Jennifer Love Hewitt. In the commercial she's been in for Capital One. Those cards.
That's not her.
Or is it Jennifer Garner?
It's Jennifer Garner.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Ugh.
Yeah, that's Jennifer Garner.
Wow.
Yeah.
My bad.
Jennifer's mixed up.
Yeah. Too many Jennifers.
Damn. I thought they kind of looked alike, too.
They kind of do.
I was wondering why you gave me that look. Ugh.
They kind of do.
Oh, God. I messed up. But still, I gave out the right movies, though. Just not the right commercials, my bad.
That's okay.
It is Jennifer Love Hewitt, though.
She's probably had some commercials herself.
Oh, I'd say so.
Big A-list actress.
All right, let's move on from that little blunder right there. That was really awkward. sorry, Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
My bad here. All right, 1-0 Colt. Also 40 years old today, born on the same day as Jennifer Love Hewitt. This is an American actor and comedian. He's also a film director. Like I said, he is 40 years old. Rose to fame doing a lot more comedic work, but recently he's got more serious as he's become a director. And he's also going to be hosting a revitalized edition of The Twilight Zone that's coming out this year. He was in a sketch show in Comedy Central that bears his name. That bears his last name.
Jordan Peele.
It is Jordan Peele.
Ooh. Jordan Peele.
And of course, Peele.
And of course directed Get Out.
Yeah.
Oh, he's also got a new one coming up.
Another, like, scary one.
What's it called? Us? I think it's just called Us.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Damn, it looks good.
I won't be seeing it.
I couldn't believe he went from comedy dude to...
Director.
I'm going to direct these horror movies.
Of some scary stuff.
Talented.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, shout out to Jordan Peele. Loved Key and Peele.
Sorry, Key.
And also, Love and Key and Peele were both on Mad TV. Either of you all watch Mad TV back
Not
in the
really.
Day?
A little bit of it.
Okay. Yeah. They were both on Mad TV and also pretty good. All right. 1-1 here. 32 years old today. She is a Canadian actress. Films such as Juno. And let me look up other movies. That's the only one I immediately know her from.
Oh, Juno.
But yeah. She was the title character. In Juno.
Oh, what is her name? She have dark hair?
Yes, she does.
Oh, what's her name?
Films other than Juno. She was in Inception. She was X-Men Days of Future Past. That's really the most notable ones here.
How old is she?
She's 32.
Oh.
Yeah. Near, she's kind of like an activist too.
I feel like I know
what's
her name.
First name
EP.
With?
EP.
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page.
Oh,
ooh,
yeah,
I was
Ellen
thinking
Page.
That's who it was.
Julia got it. Yeah.
Ellen Page.
Wasn't confident.
Ellen Page, 32 years old today. Happy birthday, Juno. 2-1 Julia right here. Let's get back into the list. Oh, this be a blast from the past right here. He is 30 today. I cannot believe this dude is 30. But, I mean, I guess we all have to age at some point, I guess.
It's true.
He's an American actor, singer, dancer, High School Musical.
Corbin Blue!
I saw it on Twitter today.
Oh,
Corbin Blue.
It is Corbin Blue. It's also, God, what other Disney stuff is he in? The original Disney Channel movie, Jump In.
Yeah.
First lead role in the film Catch That Kid. He was in Flight 29 Down on Discovery Kids. And yeah. Oh, he's also in Dancing with the Stars.
Hmm. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Corbin Blue. We're all in this together.
I was gonna
love me some High School Musical.
I was gonna say what's his name? Zac Efron, but
yeah.
I didn't think that was right.
Co-star. Yeah. Efron's gone to a little bigger things than Corbin
Blue. He has.
All right. 3-1 Julia. Julia knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door.
First win. Got a while to go here. Still anybody's game. All right, RIP to this legendary actor. He would have been 73 today. English actor. Roles in Die Hard, the Harry Potter series. What else was he in? Let me look up. See, this is hard when our Wi-Fi goes out because I just name stuff off the top of my head. Okay, he was Snape in Harry Potter.
Oh, Alan Rickman.
Yeesh.
Oh!
I think it was Cole. I think.
Yeah, I got
by
to
like
get
a
to
split
Cole.
Second.
Okay, you made me that. You made it easier by you saying that.
I'm gonna be fair.
Oof.
Because I really didn't know. Yeah, Cole barely got it.
Woo.
Got the A out. Yeah, Alan Rickman, R.I.P. after all this time?
I forgot he died.
Always. R.I.P. Sad. He was one of the many celebrities 2016 took.
There was a lot of
them.
So
sad.
Yeah.
All right, here. Last birthday for today, and then we have a This Day in History. So 3-2 Julia. Julia can still get the game with any of these next ones. Cole has to get the next two. Last birthday, 64 today, American actor, mainly known for TV roles. He was first a he was just in the cast of this great 80s sitcom. And then he went on to star in his own spinoff of that sitcom that was very popular in the 90s that was set in Seattle.
What's his name? Oh, I can't remember his
Frasier.
Name. Yeah, I can't remember his actual
but
name.
What is Frasier's actor?
Oh, gosh.
Dr. Frasier Crane.
Kelsey Grammer.
It's Kelsey Grammer!
I knew he had a lady name.
Did you know who Kelsey Grammer
was,
Julia?
I was out on that one.
Frasier. You like Frasier?
I dabble in some Frasier.
I like late night Frasier.
It's one of those things where I don't seek it out. Like, it's on Netflix. I don't watch it on Netflix, but like, it's on TV.
I watch it. Let's see. What channel is it? Come on.
Yeah, baby, right here, the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambles.
I want to say it comes on late night Hallmark.
I bet.
I think. At like midnight, I think.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
I'm not a fan of the theme song, though.
They're calling again. Do you know how long it took me to realize he sung that himself?
Oh, is that really him?
That's actually Kelsey Grammer singing his own theme song.
I did not know that.
I had no clue either. Oh. All right. Julia, I'm nervous here. I don't want you to blow a 3-1 lead. Don't be like the Warriors.
Ooh.
Yikes.
Don't be like the Warriors. You can still get this here. No offense, Cole. I want to see you lose today.
I don't blame you.
But if you get this, I have to give it to you, though. So here we go. This day in history, February 21st, 1965.
Oh, gosh.
An assassination took place. This civil
JFK.
Rights leader.
MLK.
Civil rights leader. He was assassinated by Nation of Islam. He changed his name, like when he converted to Islam.
Malcolm X.
It's Malcolm X. Julia, no!
Sorry, Jules.
Denzel Washington was in a movie Choked. About him. Oh, no.
Yep. I couldn't think of his name.
Malcolm X, he was giving a speech, and he got distracted because somebody in there, he said, get your hand out of my pocket. And he looked out, and then they gave enough time for somebody of the Nation of Islam to gun him down.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
It was depicted very graphically in the movie.
Was it really?
I haven't seen Malcolm X.
It.
It's tough.
Yeesh.
Pretty tough to watch, but yeah. Yeah, Malcolm X, in 65, man, that's been 54 years ago today.
Yeah.
Long time ago. But Cole gets it. Once again, Julia goes to 0-3. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Just don't have a start like AJ did. It took AJ like 8 tries.
Yeah,
to finally get a win. Poor AJ. All right, another birthday game in the books. Last call to get on the show here, 865-546-8200. Finishing up overtime strong here on this Thursday when we come back. Finishing up overtime here on this Thirsty Thursday. Any of you going to partake in Thirsty Thursday, or do you have like responsibilities in the morning?
I don't.
I'll be here at 7 o'clock, so no.
Ooh.
Yeah, good idea. Don't partake. Look at you, Julia, putting in like the hard work. Like you're another.
Putting in overtime.
You're a company.
There it is. There it is.
She's a company woman here, yeah. Like, partaking in overtime at night and going to be right back for the next show.
Yeah.
Man.
It's big time stuff.
Big time stuff right there. I've had to do that before.
Yeah. It's not fun. It is not fun at all.
I love the three and out boys. I don't know how they do that every day. I'm sure they're used to it after years now.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I've
but
gotten
still.
Used to it. It's really not bad now.
Those first few months, though.
Oh, I just want to. Just like on the way over here, I just want to drop off the bridge.
Like, we've all had to do that show at some point, and like. I wake up. I set my alarm for like 5:50. I hear my alarm go off. I look at my phone. I'm like, I don't want to talk about sports. I don't want to do it. That's fine though. But yeah, just the first block of our great 13 straight hours of local programming that we have here every day, Monday through Friday. Let's get into this, though, and I mean, it's unfortunate circumstances we have to talk about this, but this is pretty big stuff. It's pretty big stuff. So, Syracuse, they beat Louisville last night. On the way home from the game, Hall of Fame Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim, we all know old Jimmy B. Man, just unfortunate circumstances here. He was driving on Interstate 690 up there in Syracuse. He accidentally ran into and killed a pedestrian, killed a 51-year-old man with his car late at night. Awful. Man. Awful stuff. Reading from the article here from localsyr.com. Boeheim released a statement. He said he is heartbroken after accidentally hitting and killing a pedestrian on I-690 Wednesday night. Syracuse police say 51-year-old Jorge Jimenez was outside of his car, which had become disabled in the middle of the highway after moments before hitting the guardrail. So his car hit the guardrail, became disabled in the middle of the highway. He had gotten out of his car. Goes on to say there were three other people in the car that initially crashed, which was not far from the exit on Thompson Road. I have no clue where that is in Syracuse. But Boeheim himself, he was driving, and he was passing the crash when it happened. Syracuse police say Boeheim attempted to avoid the vehicle, but he actually ended up hitting Mr. Jimenez in the process. Police Chief of Syracuse Keaton Buckner said Boeheim stopped, attempted to render aid to the person, and tried to stop additional oncoming traffic. Jimenez was transferred to Upstate University Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. News Channel 9 spoke with Jimenez's niece in Cuba over the phone, who told us that Jorge came to Syracuse from Cuba. Their family is, quote, saddened by his death. She says, his niece says that Jorge had two sons in Syracuse and a daughter who lives in Florida. According to police, Jimenez was not the driver, but a passenger in the vehicle.
Goodness. Sad stuff.
They go on to confirm that Boeheim went right to police headquarters following the crash and was cooperating with investigators. He did not test positive for any drugs or alcohol, according to the Syracuse DA and police. Coach Boeheim was also driving at the appropriate speed when he did hit him, so wasn't speeding. Also says no tickets have been issued. And here's the full statement from Coach Jim Boeheim. He said, "I am heartbroken that a member of our community died as a result of last night's accident. Julie and I extend our deepest sympathies to the Jimenez family. Out of respect for those involved, I will not be providing further comment at this time."
Man, that's tough. Could you imagine?
I mean, yeah, and it's especially when that's of like no fault to your own. I mean, you're doing the right thing trying to get out of the way of causing a worse accident. I mean, there were also three people in that car. So yeah. It would have been worse if Boeheim had not been paying attention, just hit the car.
That's true.
I mean, who knows how much worse it would have been there. And just so happens, I mean, it's late at night, and I don't know how well lit the road was, and just ends up hitting him. Just a freak accident, man.
Yeah.
It's a freak accident, but it's just stuff like that that I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine how this is on Boeheim right now.
It's got to be tough. It's got to be rough.
And this is also like, got to wonder, I mean, I know this isn't the most important thing here. I understand that too, but Syracuse also hosts Duke on Saturday. You got to wonder that's going to like, how does that affect him, like preparing for something like that when there's something that's so much bigger that just happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's one of those things that's like you can't imagine what somebody goes through like that unless like you're involved in that yourself.
Sure.
Just a freak accident, man.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I first saw it today. At first, I thought it was some kind of hoax or something.
I think you might have sent the tweet to our group message, and I looked at it. I had just woke up, and of course, I'm halfway conscious. I look at that tweet. Yeah, Jim Boeheim ran over and killed somebody. What?
Is this from The Onion?
No, it was real. Awful stuff. Syracuse's Chancellor Kent Servand, I'm just going to say that. He sent the email out to all of the campus community. Chancellor said, "Like all of you, I am deeply saddened by the news that a member of our Central New York community was tragically killed in an accident last night involving Coach Jim Boeheim. Coach Boeheim is understandably heartbroken by the loss of life. On behalf of our entire Syracuse University family, Dr. Ruth Chin and I extend our deepest condolences to the Yemez family and all those grieving this terrible loss.
It's tough stuff.
I mean, what more can you do than that was already done? And I mean, nothing. It's kind of sickening and sad that so many yahoos out there will get under the influence or a little speed, not pay attention, and it ends up taking the loss of life. And yeah, it sucks that Coach Boeheim, who did nothing wrong and was trying to avoid like a worse accident,
yeah,
that happened.
Yeah. It's hard stuff.
It's unfortunate.
It's awful stuff. And no surprise here, but it needs to be passed along. The Syracuse DA came out and said, Coach Boeheim is not expected to face any legal ramifications after the accident. Said not from law enforcement unless something extraordinary or bizarre comes to our attention that we're not aware of. Man.
Hmm.
Rough stuff, man. I just couldn't imagine.
No, yeah, it would
not imagine something like that.
It would be hard to function.
And Coach Boeheim, I mean, no matter how you feel about him or like Syracuse, like that's a dude who's been like through a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
he's a prostate cancer survivor from about 17, 18 years ago. Been through a lot. I mean, you can say whether or not like he's a cheater or not. I know Syracuse had to have all those wins vacated. I mean, outside of that, I mean, as far as I know, a great human being and stuff like that. It's awful. And I don't think this is a, I think like similar incidents. Like, remember Dante Stallworth had something like that happen, ran over and killed somebody?
Yeah.
Was this kind of like the same thing? He was like trying to swerve or?
You know, I can't really remember, the details of that one.
Can't remember either. That's going to do tonight for overtime here for Julia Ramsey and Cole McCormick. I'm Tanner Carson. Going to finish the week strong tomorrow on the Friday edition of the show. We will see you then. Well, when you're sitting back.